Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 20 of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. This is a podcast where we speak everything Cowboys, everything Eagles.
Everything in between.
Everything out between.
Just sports related.
Right.
Pop culture, just, you know.
Yep.
Just current events.
Yep. And with that being said, breaking news, we're going to get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Schottenheimer has just been named the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. How do you feel?
So, I mean, at this point, it's Friday night. I mean, the news actually,
it literally just broke before we started recording.
Five. We set the cameras up, and as we were setting it up, got the news. But it's something that, I guess, for the last few days, for at least the past day, something that Cowboys fans have just all but come to terms with. I don't know. It's at this point, I know that I'm obviously very upset about it, but at this point, I've exhausted all my.
You're deflated.
Yeah, I've exhausted all my emotions toward it. It's kind of just sickening almost. I don't understand what direction they're choosing to go towards. We started off with hopes of Ben Johnson, you know, rumors of Deion Sanders, to somehow getting Brian Schottenheimer, and it's almost like when his name got.
His name got
thrown in the mix out of nowhere, because he was already our offensive coordinator under Mike McCarthy.
But he was not
the one calling the plays.
Right, offensive coordinator in title only, because we don't really know how much influence he did or did not have.
We don't know what he was doing.
Right.
Other than just being a body in the office.
Right.
So.
And if he had any say on the offense y'all was running this past season, that's not a good thing.
And that brings me to when his name got brought in the mix, it was baffling in itself,
right,
that we would even consider him, let alone he be the main candidate, it started off with rumors, then it looked like, oh, we were bringing him in,
right,
then it was I've been seeing reports all that they've been building his staff all day.
So the
news might have just broke, but like I said, this was a decision that's kind of been made.
Right.
And like I said, I don't understand what direction they're going towards, because not only has he shown to not be we don't know what he's shown in Dallas, because he wasn't in charge of anything.
Right. Yeah,
he wasn't the final say. We don't know, like you said, we don't know what his actual role was with the team.
Right.
But throughout his entire career,
he was the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator a few years ago.
His entire career pulled up. He started his career as the Washington Redskins quarterback coach,
right,
who were the 28th ranked offense. Then he was the San Diego Chargers quarterbacks coach through 2002-2005,
under his dad.
Pretty much some of the only years Drew Brees.
This is also, for those of you that don't know, Brian Schottenheimer, he is in fact the son of Marty Schottenheimer, the legendary coach for the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yes, and those were some of the only years Drew Brees didn't look like he was a Hall of Fame quarterback. New York Jets offensive coordinator.
Was that pre or post shoulder injury? for Drew Brees?
I'm not sure what year, because he was the quarterback's coach from 2002 to 2005.
Yeah, I think that was pre-shoulder injury.
He moved on to be the offensive coordinator of the New York Jets.
Yes.
And you know all too well about the turmoil. That's just the turmoil of an organization,
right?
But obviously didn't do anything. He wasn't successful doing anything there.
Right.
He was the offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams from 2012 to 2014, and they had the 25th ranked offense in 2012, the 21st ranked offense of 2013 and 2014. Then he was the offensive coordinator at Georgia and the quarterback's coach.
Right, yes, they had
the 85th ranked offense in college football.
In FBS, yeah, that's not good.
Then he was the quarterback's coach for the Indianapolis Colts, who had the 30th ranked offense in 2017.
Right.
Then he was the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, where he did have a Russ had a couple. He had a decent year one of those years.
Yeah.
But he was there for 3 years. Russ only had one decent year there. And then in 2021, he was the passing game coordinator and the quarterback's coach for the 32nd ranked offense, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that track record, all I'm hearing is a whole bunch of nothing.
I have no clue what he did to Pruitt. That was how this cycle went. I missed a step. His name was kind of just like we were thinking about bringing him in for an interview. Then the interview got confirmed. Then the interview lasted like 4 hours.
Yeah. Then they brought him back for a second interview. They brought him back
for a second interview the next day. And it's like,
okay, now this is picking up steam.
It was all but guaranteed at that point. And I don't know why it took 6 hours in a day for him to say, yeah, Jerry, I'll do anything you tell me to do.
Because
that's what happened here. That's what this is.
I agree with you, but I don't even think it was that. I mean, we know why Brian Schottenheimer got the job. I was talking to some people earlier today, and they were like, because of his name. And I was like, no, he got the job because Jerry Jones knew that he was his puppet. That's why he stayed. Obviously, he stayed. Everybody else was gone after he let go of Mike McCarthy, right?
Right.
But Brian Schottenheimer was still in the building, right? If you're moving off from Mike McCarthy, you would assume you were moving off from his offensive coordinator too, yeah?
Right. Or if you were going to promote him to head coach, you would have thought that would have been the initial plan, or at least been a part of the initial plan.
Right.
Not randomly like, oh, we're thinking about bringing in Brian Schottenheimer.
Nah, dude, because we know exactly what this is with Jerry. Unfortunately, Jerry Jones likes to be the puppeteer, right? He likes to operate the show, and he can do that through Brian Schottenheimer.
They were looking around. Some of the names mentioned were too headstrong in the individuals where they weren't just listening, and he went the complete opposite way.
Today the Raiders hired Pete Carroll. I mean, I don't know if y'all would have brought in a Pete Carroll.
I would have rather had Kellen Moore than Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, y'all were initially looking at Kellen Moore pretty hard.
Yeah.
I think I brought him in for a second interview.
I wouldn't have been okay with in and of itself, but in terms of him versus if Brian Schottenheimer, Brian Schottenheimer, for sure.
Right.
But yeah. I did not want Kellen as our head coach either.
Right. And we spoke about this last week and the week before. Dude, Jerry Jones, he mismanaged his whole thing. I know you was trying to get a deal done with Mike McCarthy, and maybe you really wanted him. I don't know, whatever, right? But to me, if you felt like you weren't sure about Mike McCarthy, then at that point, if you know, because, again, early on in the coaching cycle, right, like, you had Ben Johnson still out taking interviews. You had Aaron Glenn still out taking interviews. You had a Mike Vrabel out there still taking interviews, right? You pull yourself out of the running when you wait until, like, what, a week and a half after the interview process to start, and then you decide the Bears want to interview Mike McCarthy, but then you say no, right? So everybody's thinking you're going to keep Mike McCarthy, right? That doesn't happen. 5 days later, you let him go, and then everybody else is already basically taken up.
You know, there's a timeline out there where he does things the right way, lets the Bears hire Mike McCarthy,
right.
Then we get Ben Johnson.
Right. Maybe. I'm not sure that's guaranteed, but
it's one of the many Doctor Strange timelines.
I know. Yeah, man. I mean, look, full disclosure, as an Eagles fan, I'm here enjoying the show, right? But, you know, it's like, what is going on? Like, Jerry Jones, like, he just, I mean, to me, like, now it's safe to say he truly cares more about the spotlight on himself than winning, yeah?
Oh, I mean, we've been saying that all season.
Is this a winning move? This isn't a winning move.
No. He doesn't. Right? He rarely makes winning moves.
Right. I mean, y'all let Al Harris go. Al Harris is now going to be up in Chicago with Ben Johnson, which I'm sure you felt a way about because I know you love Al Harris.
Absolutely upset, especially because I'm all for advancement or right. players get in the bag, coaches getting promotions.
Right.
But to make a lateral move, he just decided that's a better situation.
Right. Right. I mean, shoot, if anything, I figured maybe y'all would have looked at Al Harris as a possible defensive coordinator next.
Would have loved that.
Right? But
that just makes too much sense, Harris.
Why would Jerry do that?
Other than waiting through the entire media cycle to, like, get all the narrative, like, other than waiting that and then finally signing the players that we already have.
Right.
Jerry does not make winning moves. We don't sign outside players. We draft...
No,
fairly well, yeah. But he's not even that much in charge of that. Will McClay is the director of player personnel,
right?
So he's in charge. He's the main person behind the way we draft,
right?
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I mean,
I just don't understand. Like, how does
he doesn't hire the right people who put us in the best position?
I think I saw a report that Jerry came out and said like Brian Schottenheimer wasn't his idea. Did you see that actually?
I mean, they're just reports. So if the reports
I don't
are true,
for a second, but
I mean, if the reports that I saw are true,
what did you see?
Were that. It was Steven who was mainly pushing for Brian Schottenheimer. Jerry still wanted Dion. So, I mean, if those reports are true.
That makes sense.
Then it's Steven's fault for that we're in this. And Jerry might have been right for once. But
come to task.
Regardless, at the end of the day, everybody knows Jerry does have the final say.
Yes. So, come on, dude.
I feel like they're a board. Because like, it was like with the Johnny Manziel thing in the draft room. He really wanted him. But
Steven talked him down.
Everyone basically just told him no. And it's like, if he really was the person where it's like, nah, then I'm just make that decision against everybody's, then we probably would have had Johnny Manziel. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think he makes decisions that way. But
I think
this was because it was the right decision when we didn't get Johnny Manziel.
Right.
But now it's the wrong decision. Brian Schottenheimer, like, I needed, maybe for once we did need Jerry to be like, yeah, I don't care what y'all are saying.
I think Jerry Jones, and again, this is just a guess to me of how he operates. I think it's a lot of like, no, I want this to happen, or I want so-and-so, whatever, right? And most of the time, you know, he has yes men around him. So they're just like, yeah, 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 Jerry. And if he gets any pushback, he just kind of makes it super uncomfortable, right? And it's like, okay, like, nah, we're just going to do it this way. Because I can imagine. I mean, you didn't even bring Dion in for a formal interview, right? Like, everybody's talking about the phone calls and everything. I was like, a phone call's not an interview, bro.
Yeah, no,
but again, this is the Dallas Cowboys, right? I remember I was talking to some of my coworkers, and I literally said, like, Jerry Jones will be the one owner who you interview Kellen Moore, you interview Joe Brady, you interview all these other guys, but then you mess around. You don't interview Deion Sanders, but then you mess around and announce that Deion Sanders is your head coach. Jerry Jones would do something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
He absolutely would, right? So
I wouldn't have been surprised at, like, morning of Super Bowl Sunday, breaking news, Deion Sanders, head coach. That's the type of thing
Steal the spotlight. Yeah, exactly. So I find it hard to believe that Jerry Jones didn't look at Brian Schottenheimer and just say, oh, you know, fine, no, let's roll with it, right? Because, I mean, in the end, Jerry Jones, he makes the final call, right? However you want to slice it and dice it, he makes the final call. You know, Brian Schottenheimer, his introductory press conference is Monday at 11 a.m.
We'll see what he has to say.
Yeah, we'll see what he has to say. But, man, I just, golly, the Cowboys dropped the ball before the season's even over, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
No, I can say a fully with 100%. This is like honestly one of the worst times to be a Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
They've done absolutely nothing to give us hope that one of our worst seasons recently is going to get any better.
Nope.
Other than a few players who themselves are coming back from major injuries.
Right. I saw Trayvon, though. I think he might have a setback.
No, he just had his surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, he just finally got the surgery.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really at a crossroads where I don't know where the team is going. Not at a crossroads in terms of anything like that.
I was like, wait a second.
No. That's the crazy thing. There are people I am seeing.
Oh, yeah,
people
jump ship. Yep, like, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
That is absolutely insane to me. Because, like,
is it insane to you or is it soft?
All of the above.
Okay.
It doesn't even like something like it wouldn't even compute in my head
to not
root for the Dallas Cowboys. It is ingrained in my being.
Absolutely.
And I know that because in teams like when they say I need to root for another team because it helps the Cowboys or like. Cause I've put a few parlays out there. If I need to bet on some guys, and I'm rooting for a different like, set, it just doesn't even hit the same. To like where I'm, it's that does not the same as rooting for the Cowboys.
So
I could never just root for another team. And even like if I was like I hate the Cowboys so much, I want them to lose. No,
right.
This season when losing would have helped us.
Yeah.
I just couldn't pull myself to do it. I'm watching the Cowboys and they do something good,
you innately want them to win.
I literally couldn't even stop myself from reacting if I wanted to.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
I could not jump ship. I don't understand people who jump ship because like it's almost that it's like it's not that serious to jump ship, if that makes sense.
I understand both sides.
This team to win. Yes. I don't want to win. I don't just want to experience a Super Bowl.
Now, to be honest, though, I also feel like jumping ship can mean multiple things. Like, just because you leave a fan base doesn't mean you necessarily join another fan base, right? Like,
because me and my brother talked about this. Like, if I were to ever jump ship.
Where's Omar on this?
Oh, he's twin. We're locked in. Like, we're the same guy. But, and we were talking, it's like, for me to jump ship, it would have to be like I just step away from football or the NFL completely.
Right.
Because I just wouldn't be able to watch the NFL and not be supporting the Cowboys.
Yeah. Like, I understand any former Atlanta Falcons fans who felt like they needed to take a step back after, you know, dropping the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. I can understand that.
You mean just not? Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying I would. Yeah, I can rationalize why somebody would do that.
That's the only thing I can understand. Or, is if you know, just take a complete step back.
Or a Lions fan who had been through the ringer already, Barry Sanders, Megatron.
I have no sympathy for them.
Well, hold on.
I'm sick of Lions fans.
But I'm saying they went through an 0-16 season.
Good for them. They deserve it.
What is this hostility towards Lions fans? What's going on? Why?
So. I don't know if you've ever met a Lions fan or talked to any.
I mean, my brother's a Lions fan.
They are annoying.
Speaking as a guy from Michigan, this is interesting that you say this.
They have been so. You would never think they were a team that went 0-16 at one point. You would never think. You would never. They don't act like a team
thing,
who was in their first NFC championship ever last season. They are so entitled.
Have you encountered some chatty Cathy Lions fans recently?
Just interactions on social media and just the narratives I see. And just simply for the fact of how much they cried after losing to us last season. Oh, my God. I've never heard of, like, you would have thought that the call that they lost, that the reason they lost that game, well, one of the reasons. You would have thought that like something happened and they immediately lost.
Yeah.
No, y'all had not only did y'all have a chance to win multiple times, they were only in position to get helped by the refs in that situation because they were helped by the refs. But no one cares about that. And they didn't care about that. And they just cried and cried and cried. And now they thought they went to the NFC Championship last year and got punched in the mouth this year. And it's big talk from a guy whose team is in the dirt right now. But I don't care. I hate the Lions.
Wow. Okay, I did not know you felt this way.
Yeah, there's only a few teams I hate outside of the NFC East, and that is the San Francisco 49ers, yeah. The Green Bay Packers, and the Detroit Lions.
I was about to say the 49ers. I mean, look, like when we played them in the NFC Championship game a few years back, and call it whatever you want, it's spilt milk to me at this point. We beat them up. We knocked Brock Purdy out of the game. It is what it is. But all you heard was Deebo Samuel and the 49ers fans running their mouths. I was like, dude, shut up. You lost.
Yeah,
accept it and move on. But they can't. They cried about it. Yeah, 49ers fans, I'm calling you out because y'all didn't shut up. But whatever. You mentioned the NFC East. Mm-hmm. Before the season started, you could not tell me that two NFC East teams would be in the NFC Championship game.
No, definitely. I'm absolutely surprised by Washington.
Right. Well, I mean, the mere fact that literally the NFC East is representing the NFC regardless,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, Philly, did we come in with high expectations? Yes. Did we come in with a loaded roster? Yes.
The NFC East is the best conference in the NFL.
Best division?
Best in the NFC.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
I can't say that, man, because us and Washington carried this year.
It's not. I'm not just talking about this year. I mean,
you mean, like, but even like what over the past like 5 years, would you say?
Yes, over the past.
I don't know, like, over, man.
Since
the NFC North was North was really strong this year.
For the past, I would say the past 20 years since the go back to 2010 or what? So that's what? How many years is that?
That's 15.
15 years. Absolutely been the best conference in the NFL.
Division.
Yeah, I keep saying conference.
You're good. I don't know, man.
And then if you want to go back to when we were winning, easily the best division in the NFL.
Dude.
Definitely the best division in the NFC.
I can't think back.
If you look at rings alone, there's six between us. The Giants have two.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So that's eight, and I don't think
Commanders have one. They have one.
Oh, so then that's nine. I don't think any other conference has more than
that. Division, but yeah.
That's annoying. But yeah, because I see the AFC East, the Patriots have six.
Well, shoot, the AFC North, the Steelers, they have what, six?
They have six.
Seven? Is it six?
It's six.
Six? Okay, Baltimore has two. That's eight already. I know they went to a few back in like the early 80s.
I don't think Cincy's 1-1 or the Browns.
Cleveland obviously has 1-1, but yeah. I'm just saying.
So that's eight, so we win.
I can't think back like that far, but I can tell you right now, I'm not going to say.
Even recently, we.
The AFC North had three 10-plus win teams this year, the NFC North.
That's not
Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit were dominant.
That's not regular. Detroit is a known.
No, but all I can go off of is this season.
Well, I'm not saying that's what I'm saying isn't for this season.
I know. I'm saying I feel like
this season they were a better.
Can't go back that far. I don't even. I mean, I wouldn't even say
well,
this season.
This is something is another argument I've had with all my friends because. Specifically with Texans fans,
right.
Because they talk about how bad our division is, and I feel like that's such a misconception.
Yeah.
That it's the NFC least. I call this the NFC beast. Like our division,
we've been both recently.
I feel like there are more seasons where. More teams are competitive than I feel like there was that one season. I think it was 2020 where Washington won with a losing record, but that was the year Dak got hurt. Y'all were still going through it with Carson and Jalen.
Yeah,
Jalen wasn't starting yet.
Yep.
It was just an off year for everybody, but that is not indicative of how each team is. I feel like especially recently. The Giants have been, and even then, we sent three teams to the playoffs that year, and the Giants were one of them.
I think every year it's a safe bet to, like, from a bird's eye view, looking at it as Philly and Dallas are always in the mix, right? Like, they should be at least, right? Washington now, because, you know, they got Jaden Daniels, and they're building towards the future. But you know, recently it has not been a constant thing of like you're looking at the NFC East, Nate, they're gonna have three teams in the playoffs. Like
that's the thing. Three teams is insane. That's almost half the playoffs.
Yes.
I feel like even sending two teams consistently isn't something most divisions do.
I don't know, man.
Because at the very least, like you said, whether the past 5 years, whether it's been Philly and Dallas, now it's Philly and Washington, it's been two teams consistently with there might be even being a third team.
Right. I don't know. I guess maybe if anything, I look at our division as top heavy. I would say we're top heavy. I wouldn't say we're a top division when compared to the other divisions around the league. Like I
put my phone on Do Not Disturb. That's crazy.
I still think of an AFC North. I think of an NFC North now. The AFC East, Buffalo.
That has been the most overlooked, historically bad division
because in the Patriots all have dominated football. Yeah.
That is something like, and that's the thing. I think I might have said that on the show before. I've never heard, oh, you played in a weak division for Tom Brady.
Well,
I will say it's because when you go in to win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter how weak your division is.
Right.
But our entire lives, he played in the division with the Miami Dolphins, who have been historically bad.
The Jets
and who have been historically bad.
Like, and the Buffalo Bills. Early 2000s, right. I haven't heard somebody come out and say Tom Brady played in a weak division, but I have heard that, you know, like Bill and Tom, they ran that division for 20 seasons. Mm. Like, I've heard that. Right, I said not 20 seasons, but yeah, I mean, but we know what the deal was. The AFC East, man, Miami, Buffalo, the Jets. I mean, the Jets had a small run in 2010, 2011 where they made those AFC championship games, but we know what the deal was. I mean, the Patriots owned that division for the better half of two decades.
And now the Bills own it, and Dolphins.
We'll see. They own it now. I mean,
the Dolphins are good sometimes, but the other two teams have been terrible. The Patriots have been bad.
Working. They're rebuilding. The Jets, we don't even know what's going on with that. Hopefully Aaron Glenn can figure it out.
Shout out to him for that.
Shout out to him for getting that job. I just hope. I hope they give him the resources.
Now, another thing I feel about Lions fans, they are – because how do you feel about coaches – taking interviews while they're still
while coach, like Kellen Moore, my offensive coordinator. I'm cool. It ain't like he flew out there. He took virtual interviews, right? Like I wasn't upset about it. To me, honestly, if anything, I feel like the media makes it a bigger thing than like anybody else, right? Like I'm watching Kellen Moore's press conference for the Eagles, and they keep asking him about the interviews, and they're asking Nick Sirianni about the interviews. It's just like, dude, can we talk about the Commanders? Like that's all we're focused on right now. And I mean, full disclosure, I'm happy that y'all hired Brian Schottenheimer. I want to keep Kellen Moore because Jalen Hurts hasn't had continuity with his offensive coordinator since, I think, early days of Alabama.
Right.
Right? So I want that continuity. I want Kellen Moore to come back. But I'm fine with coaches taking interviews as long as – I mean, because, you know, they were talking about that with the Lions and with, you know, Ben Johnson because, like, basically, you know, Detroit got whooped. And he was in Chicago, and he had his guys picked out and everything already. And you know what? It's like, okay, so what? Do you look at it? You say Ben Johnson just threw the game in the playoffs?
That's why I asked, because that's what Lions fans are saying. They are.
I don't feel like he did
Lions.
That,
that's why I'm saying Lions fans are so like insufferable. Yeah. Have been so insufferable about this whole situation.
Yeah,
especially with and my thing is, not only was Ben Johnson amazing all throughout the year, I don't think he was too much to blame for the loss.
I mean, Jared Goff did not play a good game.
Well, Jared Goff did, but I tweeted this during the game because at one point Aaron Glenn was someone that was getting rumored to be looked at by the Cowboys for their head coaching position. I was kind of out on him after that game because I didn't like what I saw from the defense at all, like at all.
Yeah,
and Ben Johnson, like, he does deserve some blame because I think that the play call for Jameson Williams to throw that interception was a terrible call, he doesn't have to throw it.
I keep watching that play and I keep saying to myself, like, one or two things didn't happen. Like, either they didn't tell him, if you don't see your first read, if he's not open, tuck it and run.
Right.
Or
I think there's no way you have a play like that.
I would hope they would have told him that. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened with that because to me, you're not running that and telling Jameson Williams just throw it like
And like, I feel like that that specific play is the only knock on Ben Johnson for that game.
Right. It's funny that you were out on Aaron Glenn after that because look, hey, I said it. You can only play press man with third and fourth stringers in there for so long before it gives out.
But I felt like how I felt against...
And he was getting injuries in that game too, like...
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like it just reminded me of the Dan Quinn and the Packers game where it was just so many points. I was just like... This is...
Well,
like,
again, and mind you, again, Jared Goff, he didn't make his defenses... lives any easier.
No, for sure.
He played a bad game.
And that, and those turnovers were not Ben Johnson's fault. Those were plays exactly.
That like if Ben Johnson's going to throw a game, you think he's going to tell Jared Goff, yeah, go out there and throw. How many picks did he throw? Three?
He threw three, and then Jameson threw one, so it was four.
Yeah, come on, man.
And then
man.
They even forced a fumble.
Come on, man. Right. Like, I'm not, yeah, no. I don't think Ben Johnson threw the game. I don't think he was unfocused. I just think Detroit, their injuries finally caught up with them. And it's the playoffs, man. Listen, playoff football, it's ugly, it's gritty, it's not clean. And the biggest thing is the team that makes the least amount of mistakes typically come out on top, right?
I mean, all weekend it was the team who won was whoever had the more turnovers. And, more often than not,
more turnovers and capitalized off the other team's turnovers.
Because I was going to say, more often than not, one of the teams might not even had that many turnovers, if any.
Buffalo. Right. Buffalo played a clean game, right? Lamar Jackson, I love him. He's going to win the MVP. But we're not going to sit here. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say it was all Lamar's fault. But we're not going to act like, and Lamar even said it, he put his team in a deep hole early.
Right,
throwing that interception, overthrowing his receiver, that was crazy. And then he fumbled like that. Both those turnovers led to points.
Yeah.
Right? So then at that point, you're already fighting against the grain. You're trying to fight and claw your way back, which you do. But then Mark Andrews made an uncharacteristic drop. I mean, you just – and he fumbled too like that. Listen, when it rains, it pours, right? And that's what happened with Baltimore. When it rains, it pours. Actually, you know, on that note too – I will say, because we're talking about fan bases and everything too, I feel like the Buffalo Bills fans are the nicest fan base ever. Did you see? Have you seen what they've been doing?
Well, they do that. They do that every time. Like,
do you think that's what it is?
Oh, absolutely.
You think they're donating to charities as a troll?
Absolutely. Especially in Mark Andrews' case.
Oh, man, I've like seen them say,
I've seen people specifically say, oh, like.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because like, they do that they every time. It. See, I didn't even think about it like that.
Well, they do donate for things that, like.
They wouldn't. Aren't I mean, negative. Obviously, they wouldn't have donated had Mark Andrews made that catch and Baltimore came and won the game, but.
But I mean, it's a great way to troll.
Like, yeah, it's a positive trolling.
At the end of the day,
hashtag positive trolling. So that's, I didn't even think about that, man. Bills Mafia, y'all some cold people out here, man. That's crazy. But yeah, man, playoff football, man. You know, Baltimore turned it over a lot. Detroit turned it over a lot. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens, right? You turn the football over in the playoffs, it's not going to end well. You give up points, it's not going to end well, right? And the teams that make the least amount of mistakes, the team that capitalize off of turnovers, they typically win. That's what happened with Washington. That's what happened with us, right? Because we're playing the Rams in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because you watch us play and – on offense, it's like, I don't know what it was. The balls, they looked fine, right? But for the Rams, it was slipping all over the place. It was like they were playing with butter out there, right? You can't explain it, but that's just snow games.
Literally.
Right? So, yeah, man, and what are your thoughts on that? Because, everybody's, kind of arguing, is it Lamar's fault? Was it Mark's fault? Like, what's your view on Lamar? Do you think, now they're calling him a regular season quarterback?
I think it just goes to show that, like, quarterbacks don't deserve all the blame
and
or all the credit. Because
So what do you chalk up that game to?
Lamar and Mark Jackson both put them.
Mark Andrews.
Oh yeah, Lamar and Mark Jackson. Shout out to old coach of the Warriors.
Black ball by the NBA. Crazy. Yeah.
With all due respect, that's the quote. It's a, they'll get it. Yeah, but Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
they both had plays that sold the team short.
Yeah,
and both deserve equal credit.
Yeah.
For the loss, I think that the defense deserves an I saw like a lot of people had like are in defense of Lamar saying after he had those turnovers,
right?
He got them back in the game. I think
he did.
The defense deserves a lot of credit,
yeah,
for keeping them in that game,
right? Right,
because they allowed only 6 points in the second half.
I mean, Josh Allen only threw for like 128 yards, it wasn't crazy,
yeah,
right? Like, it's that's another thing I want to get into too, because you know now people get on Jalen Hurts' head and saying we're carrying him and Josh Allen, is he getting carried by the Bills and all this and that, and it's like, dude, playoff football it's like I just said it, it's ugly, it's not nice, it's not kind a lot of the times, and it's a short menu for sports,
mm-hmm.
right? Wins and losses,
right?
And last time I checked, you went into the playoffs, you advance.
I agree with that. And I feel like that's what matters if you're talking about the Buffalo Bills mm-hmm. versus the Baltimore Ravens. If you're talking about yeah. the Philadelphia well, Eagles
what about the
versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Uh-huh.
But if you're talking about Jalen Hurts
uh-huh.
versus Matthew Stafford, if you're talking about Lamar Jackson versus like Josh Allen, then yes, that's the thing. Then I mean, things like
yeah,
that matter.
I mean, yeah, but it just. Everything needs context, right? Again, we played in a snow game against the Rams, right? Everybody coming into the game, Matthew Stafford talking about, oh, I played in Detroit in the snow games, all this and that. And Matthew Stafford didn't play great.
Right.
He couldn't even hold on to the ball. It's snowing, I get it, but Jalen Hurts held on to the ball.
Correct.
Right? So, come on, man. What are we talking about, bro? Don't get me wrong. Would I like to see Jalen Hurts air it out more? Yes. Would I like to see that happen a little bit more? Yes. Do I think that's going to need to happen against Washington? Yes. Do I think that will happen against Washington? Yes, because people seem to forget the last time we played Washington, we were steamrolling them in the first half, and then Jalen Hurts got hurt, right? We were doing any and everything we wanted on offense, and then he took a bad slide. That's literally what happened, right? So, yeah, I don't know, man. I find myself having to defend my quarterback. Like, dude, like – He got us to a Super Bowl before, and he was a pass interference call away from winning it all. So I don't know what more he has to do. Granted, has he tailed off a little bit since that MVP caliber season? Yeah. Has he put up the same numbers? No. But I'm not going to sit here and say Jalen Hurts can't throw us into a game, man. I'm not going to sit here and say he can't make all the throws that he needs to make. I've seen him do it time and time again. And, I mean, is he going to need to do it against Washington? Probably, right? It's going to be a dogfight. Like, I'm not expecting it to be easy. Yeah, it's in Philly, but, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice in a season, right? Mm-hmm. And we played them twice. Granted, we played them the second time. We were steamrolling them until, you know, Jalen Hurts got hurt. So that really factored into that, because I truly believe we win that game. If he doesn't get hurt. But, you know, this time it's for all the marbles, man. And I have to go with history and the fact that no rookie quarterback has ever made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I gotta roll with history, man. Jaden Daniels, his season will come to an end. I love what he has going on. But Vic Fangio, he has schemed up a game plan against him before that worked. He's seen Jaden Daniels before in a la Mike Vick, right? Vic Fangio's been around a while. And, yeah, man, I truly feel like the better team is going to win on Sunday, and we are the better team. It's at home. The link's going to be rocking. Saquon Barkley might mess around and go off for another 200 yards, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what more can you ask for from your running back? What more can you ask for from your defense? Again, do I want the passing game to get going a little bit? Yes, but I'll tell you what, if we rush for 200 yards and throw for 110 and we're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the day, am I going to be complaining? No.
You still got one more game after that.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying that to say, like, okay, let's say we beat Washington, right, and then we go to the Super Bowl, play whoever. If we end that game and we rush for 200-plus yards and only throw for 110 and we hoist the Lombardi Trophy, I'm not going to be pressed about it.
Yeah, I get that. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, because the Eagles won. So, yes for the 10 times.
You're talking about when you're comparing quarterbacks.
Yes. If y'all run for 200 yards.
Yeah, but let me ask
you. That's what I'm saying. If y'all run for 200 yards.
Yes.
And then someone says, who's the better quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson? You can't just be like, oh, well, Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl.
No, Lamar Jackson's the better quarterback. I wouldn't argue that, though.
But that's what the narrative would be.
I would not make that argument.
And that's exactly how most
people. Let me ask something.
That's how it is with these playoff wins and the NFC Championship appearances.
Let me ask something. If the Cowboys are in the playoffs, right, Dak Prescott throws for 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, but y'all lose. And you got Jalen Hurts. He's over here throwing for 128 yards. One touchdown, maybe rushing for one, whatever. Got a solid running game, whatever. But y'all get bounced, right? But we go on to win the Super Bowl with that formula. Would you rather have Dak Prescott putting up numbers, but y'all losing?
No, I would want the Cowboys to win by any means necessary.
Okay.
But it says this is one thing I've been thinking of. It's because, like I said, when you're comparing these quarterbacks, I hate the blanket statement of, oh, they have a Super Bowl appearance in terms of like Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts, or they have a AFC Championship appearance in terms of other guys. Because like it's too broad of a statement. It ignores everything that took to like get what happened.
I think with those two, with Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts specifically, though, you can't say they didn't do their part to help their team get to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like Jalen Hurts was up for MVP that year, right? He had his best season, right? He hasn't played like that since.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Joe Burrow, he had a phenomenal year. I mean, he had his best year this year, but he had a phenomenal year passing the ball that year too.
But that's not... They didn't have those. They had those great years.
Yeah.
But the playoff games weren't indicative of those great years.
I feel like Jalen had a pretty good run to the playoffs.
It wasn't bad.
Hold on.
It was good enough to win. It was good enough to beat Daniel Jones.
Oh my god! Hold on. That his numbers have nothing to do with the other quarterback though that he's playing. Like what Jalen Hurts puts up, it has nothing to do with what Daniel Jones puts up.
I mean.
Do
the Giants have a good defense?
Oh my god. Does Daniel Jones play defense?
He doesn't put up points.
Does he play defense? Jalen Hurts isn't playing against Daniel Jones, he's playing against the defense, right?
No, I'm saying their defense is bad. But I'm saying in terms of the other amount of points put up that like you have to go against. I mean, what, the Giants scored 3 points that game?
What, when we played them in the run? Let me see. They scored. Nope. I'm looking up his postseason stats right now.
Because, like, in terms of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who do you think is the better quarterback?
Lamar Jackson. God, see, I even hesitate saying that. But, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
But all like
not the, by like a,
but I'm saying, but all the arguments and everything that's going out in the media is saying the opposite,
that Josh Allen's better than Lamar Jackson,
that because of that the game? Lamar Jackson just made, like you said, like we started off the game with a regular season warrior, just
that's can't what I'm get it not done. Saying that's what people are saying,
that's what I'm saying, that's what the narrative is.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Lamar Jackson is he a regular season quarterback? Is that
no?
Okay.
I just think he hasn't
gotten it done yet in the playoffs.
I just think he hasn't gotten that the same chips to fall that other people have.
Yeah, but at a certain point, how long are you going to use that as an excuse?
Until,
because I mean,
like Jaden Daniels right now, he's in the NFC Championship in his first season.
Yeah, that's
if Lamar Jackson's defense got 5 turnovers. Would he not be like that's what I'm like, that's what I was like,
yeah, but dude, like,
things like that have to be taken into account and given these other like people who haven't got it done. It's like, if you don't think they would get it done in that same situation, I don't understand it.
I feel like,
I'll tell you, Dak Prescott's defense has 4 turnovers in his entire every playoff game he ever had all together. They had 5 in one game. Now, before we got past the Commanders and Eagles game, I think that y'all are the better team, but I don't think it is as simple as the better team will win, because I think that...
No, it's not as simple as that.
I think that it's specific because Dan Quinn... And his defense, what I'm seeing from them, I'm not surprised by it at all. Even in that Lions game, they got those 5 turnovers.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure every other drive ended in a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's when Trayvon Diggs was labeled as a boomer bust corner, that was our entire defense. When Dan Quinn was our offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator, we got a lot of turnovers, but we also gave up. We bended but didn't break a lot of times and got driven on, and we weren't able to really stop the run, which is another thing I'm seeing from this defense. So I feel like that game will be completely dependent on, like, another thing, like we said, is that the team who protects the ball more, the team who makes the least amount of mistakes, will be the team that wins. So if y'all can get it out of that game without letting Dan Quinn's defense force y'all to commit turnovers, you know, balls don't bounce their ways, I feel like that's their only chance of winning that game.
Well, that's the thing. Jalen Hurts has been playing clean football. Clean, efficient football. Same thing with Josh Allen, right? Like, that – there has to be passing yards and, you know, touchdowns and all that. Like, yes, those are huge factors when it comes to, you know, describing someone as an elite quarterback or, like, playing at an elite level. But – playing efficient, clean football has to be in there at some point. Like, that has to be a factor in the equation, bro. I mean, if Jalen Hurts was sitting here throwing 3 picks like Jared Goff, right, we're at home, right? And then, like, the slander's really on him.
Maybe. Right? I mean, maybe, because your defense forced how many turnovers? Well,
no, I know. But fair. We have the number one defense in football right now. Fair. But we're just talking about quarterback play here, right?
And that's my thing. And it's the guys who have lost or who don't have, like, it's like they are guaranteed to lose. Even if Jaden Daniels threw 3 picks, they might not have lost that game because they still win the turnover battle.
Right.
I just think that's it's entirely too complimentary of a sport to just simplify it as in when QB wins and losses.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was in a rabbit hole trying to find the 2022. The last time I went to the Super Bowl, the postseason stats for Jalen Hurts. He didn't throw any interceptions in the run to the Super Bowl. He averaged 193 yards a game. That's not like gaudy, but that's not terrible either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not mad at it.
I mean, yeah.
He's making that face like, bro, what? I don't know, dude. I'm not pressed.
I would love for us to be able to win that way. That's why I don't want it to make it
we
seem
have a
like,
team built to where we can win that way. But I'm not here for the narrative of Jalen Hurts is getting carried. Like, no, dude, because if you throw Kenny Pickett in there, we're at home. I promise you we're at home.
I feel like that's...
He's not playing his best football, but...
I feel like no one's saying Kenny Pickett can come in there and do that. But the top 10 quarterbacks, top 15?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, you put... Yeah, but...
I disagree, but I think it's those, not the top 15... Patrick Mahomes, and then every guy I put in that second tier. Yeah, I do think they could do that.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's just playing the what if game of, you know, put Joe Burrow there, put Josh Allen there, put Lamar there, so and so. Like, Yeah, you know, what's that saying? If if was the fifth, we'd all be drunk, right? So I'm not here for that narrative. I hope Jalen Hurts kind of shuts up the naysayers a little bit. But again, if we come out here and we throw for 175 yards and we run the clock out, we rush for 200 plus. I mean, again, you got Saquon Barkley back there, bro. I'm not expecting Jalen Hurts to drop back and throw 40 times a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but again, the double-edged sword of that is, well, what do you say when you have an A.J. Brown out there, when you have a Devontae Smith, when you have a Dallas Goedert, when you have a Grant Calcaterra, when you have a Kenneth Gainwell out of the backfield too, right? What do you say to that? Because then it's like, okay, yeah, you got Saquon Barkley, but you have X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's trying to get fed. Everybody can get the ball. You have all pro talent on the outside. And, you know, I get it, man. I get it. You know, it's not like 2022. This team is not like that at all, right? We had a good defense then, but like we literally have the number one defense in football this year. We've always had a solid running game, like always, right? Probably since like 2018 when we won the Super Bowl. Like since then, we have had a solid running game. No matter who we've had back there, it don't matter. It could have been Jay Ajayi, Ryan Matthews, Miles Sanders. It didn't matter. We always had a solid running game because we've had a dominant O-line for the better half of a decade now, right? You fuel that with a Saquon Barkley. Okay, all right. It's just overload now. The Rams, we rushed. Or Saquon rushed for 255 yards in the first game of the regular season against them. And what did I say? They're going to stack the box to try to stop him. They tried. They still couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Still couldn't do it. So, yeah, I'm not mad at the formula, man. You know, I'm cool for old school smash mouth football. I'm cool for having the number one defense. I'm cool with Jalen Carter going out there and making game-wrecking plays. I'm cool with it, man. Again, would I like my quarterback to be airing it out some more? Yeah. But if I'm still screaming go, go, go when Saquon rushes for, you know, takes off for his 78 yarder, I'm not pressed about it. You know what I'm saying? So, look, man, it's the playoffs, bro. It's about winning, man. Win in advance. And we got two more games to win to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, however we get there, man, I just want to get there. You know, however we get there, I just want to get there. But, you know, you've been thinking about the NFC Championship game. We got a rematch from the mm-hmm. AFC. We got Buffalo and Kansas City. And before I say anything else, I got to say the Kansas City Chiefs got two of the most egregious calls I've ever seen in an NFL playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At this point, I truly feel like NFL head coaches should get like two personal foul challenges a game because I don't know what else you do. Because you got Patrick Mahomes. Dude, that unnecessary roughness call, I almost lost it. Did you see that?
I was watching the game.
Like, bro, he hit his own teammate. He didn't even hit Patrick Mahomes. He hit his own teammate. But
that was the only one. I think it was a bad call.
I thought it was a horrible call.
In the moment, like, that's what it just
looked like. And that saved the drive.
That's what it looked like in the moment, so I can understand the bad call. But I think this entire thing has been completely blown out of proportion.
In terms of what the calls?
I agree that was a terrible call.
I just said they had two bad calls. Plenty of terrible calls.
Like every game. Like yeah. The refs are bad at their jobs. And that's a known thing.
I'm not saying like Houston, they shot themselves in the foot a lot. Like that's why I'm not just saying Kansas City won it off the back of the refs. I'm not saying that.
That's what
a lot of people are saying.
That's what Houston, right. The Texans are saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. They shot themselves in the foot a lot.
Not even just Texans fans. The Texans players are even coming up.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, hey man, when you got your own players pushing your coaches on the sideline, I don't know what.
That was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was insane.
Chris Boyd, Austin's finest.
Yeah, that dude shoved that coach back like nothing.
I didn't even watch his explanation. I saw he gave one.
Did he speak about it?
He did. I didn't see what he said, though.
I bet you he got a hefty fine. But, no, Houston, they shot themselves in the foot a lot. A lot. Don't get me wrong. Those two calls are horrible, and they were drive-changing calls.
And I will say, I think Patrick Mahomes is abusing the...
Yeah, because when he... that one scramble out of the pocket and he stopped
Yeah.
Like, he literally pump faked.
Yeah. Like, I think I definitely agree he's abusing
it. He's like Harden, bro.
Yeah. But the reason they lost is because they couldn't guard Travis Kelce.
Let me just say this. It is amazing how Travis Kelce can still get that much separation.
It's so crazy.
At this stage of his career.
Yeah.
He is slow as molasses. He can't move.
He just is wide open.
He just makes people like.
He's like there's a force field around
him. I'm seeing what y'all were doing. Y'all were experiencing with Jason Witten because I didn't understand with him either. He was slow as molasses his last couple years, but he was still getting stupid wide open. No,
that was what like made him still available to
it
use.
Doesn't at that make age. Sense. Just, like how are these guys getting so wide open?
There's open space, and he just is attracted to
Travis
it.
Kelce had his longest reception in the playoffs. This past game.
Yeah.
Like 40 plus yards. How? He can't move.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how you lose him as a defense.
He can't move. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But hey, I'm saying all this in envy. Like Travis Kelce, shout out to you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know how you doing it, bro. I truly don't.
Arguably the greatest we've seen ever.
You think so? Best tight end ever?
I think it's Gronk.
I think
just think he's up in that conversation with Gronk, you know.
Because if you think about it, we never saw Gronk with the fall off.
No, yeah. He came back to the day he retired. Yeah.
We never saw Gronk with the fall off, bro.
I think Tony Gonzalez is up there, obviously. Shannon Sharp. I think Jason Witten is like not.
Can you be the best ever at your respective positions without a ring, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think there's...
Who do you think? Oh, yeah, because who? Because I feel like I know who you're about to say, maybe.
Well, I think...
I wonder if this is going to be a homer pick. Let me.
I don't think any Cowboys that don't have a ring are in contention to the best
okay.
of their position
Actually,
ever.
Yeah, no, I can't even say... Yeah, I'm tripping. For some reason, Emmett came into my brain, but then it just hit me like, no, Emmett has rings. Never mind.
Three of them things.
Yeah.
I don't have the jackets over there.
But you think somebody can be the best at their position without a ring?
I'm trying to think.
Like Justin Tucker, maybe he gets like, called the GOAT, right? But he doesn't have a he hasn't kicked in a Super Bowl. Like he doesn't have
that, and he's also starting to fall off.
He is
where Adam Vinatieri didn't really have that. He's got game winners and who's that?
He just kept making clutch kick after clutch kick.
Yeah, and then I think maybe as a running back. Did Barry win any?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, well, not with the Lions.
You know, that's true. But I absolutely consider Barry Sanders the greatest running back of all time.
Yeah, I think a running back can win. You can be the GOAT without rings. Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver, so he kind of
won rings. But folks make the argument for Randy Moss.
It shouldn't be. I feel like
you don't think there should be an argument?
I think he's one of the only positions where it is like the hands down no competition.
Let me ask something.
I'm a numbers guy.
Yes.
His numbers are untouchable.
Randy Moss, though? You don't think Randy Moss has an argument?
No, I think
he has. That's crazy. Randy Moss?
I think, yeah, he's amazing.
Let me ask something. If Jerry Rice didn't have rings, because I think it's fair to say the consensus top three receivers of all time as of right now, right? Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
How are you stacking those three?
Jerry Rice. Okay. Probably in that order.
Jerry Rice, Randy, Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But I think because even if you took away his rings, then it's just their numbers. And his numbers are what sets him apart.
Randy Moss was insane, dude.
I want you to look at Jerry Rice's numbers.
I know Jerry Rice. Trust me, I know. Like, I'm not saying he's not the best receiver. Like, I'm just saying you can make an argument for Randy Moss. You don't think you can make an argument for Randy Moss?
No.
That's crazy. Randy Moss, bro, like he was him. I mean, we literally like Moss wasn't a thing before him. Career numbers.
Jerry Rice has 22,895 yards. The next closest person is Larry Fitzgerald with over 5,000 less. 17,492. Randy Moss is fourth. He has
15,292 yards, 156 touchdowns, 982 receptions. Like, Landon, you can't tell me Randy Moss. You can't make an argument. Like, Randy Moss? I mean, again, is Jerry Rice the greatest receiver of all time to me? Yeah, probably. But I'm just saying, you can make an argument.
He also almost has 200 touchdowns.
I mean, Randy Moss has 156.
He has 197.
Okay, but like, I'm just saying, man, like there is an argument to be made.
That's what I'm saying. If he's second, that's the gap. Like 5,000, almost 8,000 yards and almost 50 touchdowns.
I'm just saying. I think you can make an argument for Randy Moss.
On top of Super Bowls.
All I'm saying is you can make an argument for Randy Moss being the top receiver ever. That's all I'm saying.
What is the argument?
Dude, you just had to be there, man. Like, we weren't there for it like that. But Randy Moss?
I feel like that's not fair because we were there for Randy Moss. Jerry Rice.
No. We weren't there for Randy Moss. Like, Vikings Randy Moss, we were not there for that.
Well, no, but... We weren't there for Jerry Rice at all.
No, we weren't. I said it. I'll probably have Jerry as my number one receiver. I'm just saying, you can make an argument for Randy Moss.
But because that's what I'm saying. What if the argument was you just had to be there? You just had to be there for that.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know, they played in a different time period. You know, really.
They played at pretty much almost the same time. They overlapped.
They overlapped by the time. No. Because when Randy got in the league, Jerry was playing for the Raiders at that point, like the Raiders and the Seahawks.
Yeah, he got drafted in '98.
Yeah, Jerry was winding down heavily.
I think Randy Moss is like
the second best receiver of all time.
I think you can't even argue he was hands down better than Terrell Owens.
Wow,
how was he?
Who do you have as the second best receiver of all time? Hold on. Who was a better receiver, Terrell Owens or Calvin Johnson?
I think Calvin Johnson is.
What are you about to say, Lando?
I think my receiver tier list is like my quarterback. But at the all time, like, you got Randy, and I mean, you got
Jerry Rice. Who was Jerry the better Rice, receiver?
And then Terrell you got that Owens. Second, you got T.O., Calvin Johnson, Randy.
Who was the better receiver, Terrell Owens or Calvin Johnson?
Actually, T.O. He was way more he was dominant everywhere he went.
Calvin Johnson only played for one team.
Yeah, and he was good. He was amazing. But T.O. showed he could be done. It was him.
Because he was a diva and he had to get shipped out?
That is irrelevant.
You just said because T.O. dominated everywhere he went. Yes. And I'm saying Calvin Johnson only played for one team.
Yes, and I'm saying it, regardless of why he went to place different places, he dominated and was one of the best. What did Calvin Johnson do that T.O. didn't do?
I'm trying to figure out how you're saying, like, what is that? Like, how does that help T.O. at all? Because Calvin Johnson played for one team and it was absolutely dominant. I'm not saying T.O. wasn't.
He just showed the ability to be dominant everywhere you go. It's just the.
Okay, so then what does that say about Calvin Johnson being dominant for his whole career in Detroit?
It doesn't hurt him, to me that
just equalizes it, because I don't know.
No, it doesn't hurt him or anything. It's just
so a how plus does that, how for does that
T.O.
But how? Because
for a receiver to be dominant everywhere you go, that's just not everybody can do that. Yeah,
Calvin, but how does that put him over Calvin Johnson? I'm confused.
Because that's a plus for him. It's not a negative for anyone. It's just a receiver who's played in multiple places and dominant all of them. You're showing an ability that you are the dominant. Like, you can fit in any system with any quarterback, and you're just that dominant of a receiver. Not saying Calvin Johnson couldn't do that, but he showed that ability. We know that's. I'm saying that's but, just a plus for his career. But
my only argument to that would be Calvin Johnson didn't need to show that because he played for one team his whole career. Like, you see what I'm saying?
No, I'm not saying it's because it's irrelevant to Calvin Johnson. That puts him above.
Above Calvin Johnson for you.
It's irrelevant to Calvin Johnson. That puts him above almost any receiver who just played for one team.
I don't agree with that.
It's irrelevant. I'm just saying for T.O. in his career,
yeah,
he gets a plus for playing, being able to play in any, no matter who you're playing, no matter who you put him up against.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's just a plus for his career. I'm not saying it's a knock to Calvin Johnson. I'm not saying it's against. I'm not even using him. I'm just saying 4TL. That's just the ability to do that. Just show, that's why he's a one of the best receivers of all time.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of the best receivers of all time. I don't think that is such a plus how you're viewing it. Like I don't think that's like, oh, that's what puts him over so and so. I don't see how that does that.
It's not what puts him over. It's just a plus for their career, for his career.
But that's what you. But when I asked you why is T.O. better than Calvin Johnson, that's what you said.
Because it's something that he can. It's shown the ability to do. It's like, and I see
what you're saying.
I need to stop saying like, because
I see what you're saying.
It's not even he's not better. They're on the same tier. The start of it. That's what I want to go back to. You can't even.
Who would you rather have, T.O. or Calvin Johnson?
It's equal. I'm saying what's on the. They are on the same level.
Yes.
Jerry Rice is above them. That's what I'm. What I'm saying is the argument is there's nothing that says Randy Moss is the hands down the better receiver than T.O.
Yeah.
I would have either or. I'm going to get the exact same thing.
I'm asking you, if you were the GM of the Dallas Cowboys and you had to pick one receiver to start with, T.O. or Calvin Johnson, who you going with?
I'm not. There's nothing that gives me the. It would be a pick your poison. And me picking Randy wouldn't be. It was like there would be nothing. I would be at a complete crossroad.
Oh my gosh, this is.
What would I gain from picking Randy?
I didn't say Randy. I said Terrell Owens and Calvin Johnson.
Or what would I gain from picking Calvin Johnson?
A 6'6", 230-pound freak of nature that ran a 4.3.
Now, what did that translate on the field? What did that translate to anything that Terrell Owens showed he could not do?
I didn't say T.O. could. Hold on. Do you feel like you can't have preferences? Because that's essentially what this comes down to. I'm asking you, who would you want to have on your offense? Would it be T.O.? Would it be Calvin Johnson? Would it be a Jerry Rice? Jerry Rice wasn't the fastest, right? But he had the surest hands of anybody. Same thing with Larry Fitzgerald, right? Randy Moss, speed demon. Terrell Owens, speed demon. But they were also, you know, built. Terrell Owens more so than Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a bit of a twig, but he was 6'4", right? So, whatever, bro. Terrell Owens, dude was juiced like crazy, swole, and he could run a 4.3. T.O. was nice. T.O., former Eagle, former Cowboy, former Eagle. T.O. was nice. Playing the Super Bowl for us with a broken leg. T.O. was nice. I'm not arguing that. I'm essentially asking you, if you're playing fantasy draft, whatever, you're playing Matt, whatever, who would you rather start with, T.O. or Calvin Johnson? I'm taking Calvin Johnson. I love T.O., but I'm taking Calvin Johnson. And if you ask me who do I think is the better receiver like of all time, I'm probably putting Calvin Johnson above T.O. Again, it's not by much because Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss, T.O., those are Larry. Like, those are probably the top five for me. It, essentially, what I'm asking you is the preference. Like, do you feel like you're not capable of having preferences?
I mean, I think if it's just a preference, that I'm saying if we're talking about who's better,
who in your mind, who? Like, who do you think is better? Who would you rather take?
My preference isn't saying who's better.
How is your preference not saying who, in your mind, who's better?
Because I'm only has a preference because I'm being forced to, and like I can't there's only one name when I think they're equal. My preference is either or. It's like if you like say somebody offers you a drink and it's like, oh, I have Coke and Sprite. If you like both, it's like I'll take either, whichever one you hand me, I will take it, and I'm gonna get the exact same satisfaction out of it.
Yeah, but I would tell you I prefer Sprite because I think Sprite is better.
Yes, if you that's what you think because you think Sprite is better.
Yes,
but if you think, but I'm saying if you have two drinks that you think are the same. It's the your preference. That's like in that scenario, Jerry Rice is the Sprite. I think he is the best. But then once you get past Rice Sprite, and you have a whole bunch of Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, a whole bunch of things that are the same.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get equal satisfaction whether you can hand it to me, close my eyes, and I can drink either or, and I'm good.
I am, and I realized this earlier on, recording early in the season, but I am truly realizing that we just view, well, like I'm a list guy, but I can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You, it's top of the mountain. Everybody else.
No, it's top. It's tiers. There's the tier one.
Yeah, but for you, if they're in tier two, it's all the same.
Yeah, if you're in the tier, the people you're in the tier with, yes y'all are interchangeable. Yeah,
see, I see how you rationalize like that, but I gotta put people in order. I gotta put people in order. But you know, that's why we're doing this. That's why we're here. But. Let's get back to the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, Kansas City, in Kansas City. Who do you have winning that game and why?
Kansas City, because I won't believe they can lose until it's done.
Until you see it. Yeah. Yeah. Every time I bet against Patrick Mahomes, I've been wrong. But I'm here to say now, I believe the Buffalo Bills will pull it off. I feel like Josh Allen will figure it out. Because here's the thing, man. Who said it? I think Ryan Clark said it. Somebody said it. If you want to beat Kansas City, you just got to play Kansas City. You just got to beat them, right? Don't think about playing the two-time Super Bowl champion. Don't think about playing Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of this generation. Don't think about playing Andy Reid, arguably the greatest head coach of all time. Like, don't. You just got to play him straight up.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to play him straight up. Don't worry about the refs. Like, it is what it is. You might get some bad calls. You might not. Whatever. You just got to play him.
Yeah,
you just have to get in there, play them, and beat them. And to me, the Buffalo Bills, man, they've looked super locked in, super focused. I said it. I feel like Sean McDermott should get real consideration for Coach of the Year because what he's done this year. I mean, I was coming into the season thinking he was going to get fired. And he's done nothing but lead that team. Really, Josh Allen and a bunch of misfits. That's why I keep calling him, because aside from James Cook – I mean, yeah, Dawson Knox, he's a decent tight end. They got Dalton Kincaid, he's a decent tight end. But again, Josh Allen's number one receiver. It's not Amari Cooper. It's Khalil Shakir, right? So Josh Allen is really out here making it happen with a bunch of misfits. And those boys are rolling. They are playing really good football. James Cook is, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher. And Buffalo, they just look really good. So I'm taking Buffalo, man.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but, like, for me.
I know. It's impossible to bet against Patrick Mahomes. It is impossible to bet against Patrick Mahomes. And every time I've done it, I've lost. And I don't know, man. We'll see if I'm wrong this weekend, too. We'll see.
I was just looking at the numbers from that game.
What game?
From the Buffalo and Baltimore game.
In terms of?
Everybody's. I was just trying to see. I didn't remember what everyone. I knew like Lamar kind of had some touchdowns, but I was seeing how the Bills got their points. And,
yeah,
but I mean, it'll be a good game for sure.
Yeah. That'll be a good game. We got Washington in Philly. I'm looking forward to round three. I do. Like I said, I expect it to be a dogfight, but. You know, if we can jump on them early like we did the last time we played them, and you know, God willing, everybody stay healthy, right? God willing, Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt. I feel very confident about our chances to make it back to the Super Bowl, man. So, you know, hey, fly, Eagles, fly. I'm bleeding green. I'm rocking my socks right now. You feel me? Like, it's a good time to be an Eagles fan. It's a good time to be an Eagles fan. Horrible time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. Y'all are down so bad right now, but...
Hey, let me say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's not wrong, though. Definitely down bad.
Down bad.
I think that...
Brian Schottenheimer to the rescue.
It was a terrible situation. Like, I'm excited. Not excited. Just interested to see what he has to say in his opening press conference, just what his expectations are, where his mind is, because I mean, he's been on it. I've never heard him say a word.
Right. Well, really, I mean, you say you're interested to see what he says. I'm more interested just to hear the soundbite Jerry Jones says, because we know Jerry always gonna have a hand in this.
I mean, I don't really care. I'm sick of hearing him.
Are you tuning him out now officially?
I'm just I've tuned him out. Like, I've been game to his antics for a while. Yeah. When he said, I know exactly what he means when he says one thing.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he's trying to say when he doesn't say it. Like, I'm just, you just get used to it at a certain point.
And that is the sad reality of life as a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all for this episode, folks. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
We did not mention, I know you don't want to hear it, but
what?
Ohio State won the national championship.
As a neutral
sports fan,
I'm gone.
I want to give them some congratulations.
I'm out. They can kiss my, man, please. I'm good. I don't got nothing to say about that. I literally cut the game off in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, it was kind of, once the done deal kind of
started. Notre Dame, you let me down. That's all I will say. You let me down.
I definitely wanted to ask you, I watch a podcast of comedians, and one of them happens to be a Michigan fan.
Okay.
And so they were talking about how, you know, Ohio State won the championship.
Yeah.
And he was actually the one that brought it up. He was like, yeah, our sons won their, you know, want to congratulate them, give them, you know, give them their props to our children, our kid. They want to be just like us. You know, we won last year. They won this year.
Right.
And then, they started talking about how they won the national championship, but they were one game away from a perfect season.
Mm-hmm.
That loss being to y'all.
Yeah.
And he was genuinely saying that, because they were asking, they were like, he was like, yeah, that's all that matters. That's cool with me. I'm glad we won. He was like, but they were like, well, which one would you prefer? Last year, y'all win the national championship, but let's say y'all lost to Ohio State versus y'all losing all y'all's game, but then y'all beating them. He was like, man, that Ohio State win is different. And I was like, and they were like, yeah, we get that, but like a championship. And I'm like,
so you asking me which would I prefer?
Yeah.
To beat Ohio State? And not win
last year versus this year, or not this
year.
We
beat them last year, though. That's the thing. We beat them last year.
Well, yeah, last year, but y'all lose to them, and this year, y'all are a little bit better because y'all were kind of bad this year, weren't you?
We were horrible this year.
Okay,
so win a natty but lose to Ohio State, or beat Ohio State but have them win the national championship?
No, they don't win the national championship, but y'all don't either.
I mean, obviously, I'd beat them. I can't. I mean.
But that's, no, y'all. When y'all win the national championship, y'all lose.
We lose to them, right?
But then y'all beat them, and just like,
but we don't win it,
like an end season. No, but some random.
I mean, that's. I mean, look, this year, yeah, we beat them, but like, dude, we beat them. We got bigger issues than Ohio State right now. You know what I'm saying? It's hard because, you know, for so long, like, I'm not going to lie, it was one-sided, man. They came in and they whooped us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not too ashamed to admit it. But, you know, these past four years, man, we figured it out. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would say I want the win because I'm thinking back to all the years I grew up and everything and having to deal with the pain of losing to them. But then, like, you know, we pull off an upset every now and again, and I'm high on life for the next year. Yeah, I definitely would. Yeah, no, give me the win, man. Because to be honest, beating them, I mean, especially for us this season, like that was our national championship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I mean, God, I wish it would have derailed their season. I thought it was, but it didn't, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, no, give me the win, man. I can't stand Ohio State. Give me the win, bro.
Yeah, y'all already here first. That rivalry runs deep.
I can't, bro. I was literally sick when you brought that up. I didn't even know you wanted to bring that up. Like, I was so sick when you just brought that up. Like, I can't stand it, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. Like, I literally post every time we beat them. I literally post on all my social media, like, the meme of the kid pissing and he's pissing on Ohio State. I can't. I would do worse if I could without getting in trouble. I'm not even joking.
I understand it, man. Trust me.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how your hatred runs so deep for us.
No, I was literally watching the game, right? And so I'm watching the game, and so obviously
you're talking about the Eagles and Rams.
Eagles game. And Rams yeah. game, yeah. So obviously going for the Rams, and so this my parents here. Are watching the game, Cowboys fans,
yeah,
and
they were going for us.
Well, so my dad, he's like, if it's not the Cowboys, he doesn't care.
Yeah,
he does. Like, he doesn't. There's no NFC East rivalry. Right. And he just if it's the Cowboys. He that's what he that's who he wants to win.
Yeah,
he doesn't even really pay attention to outside. So we're like. So I forgot something happened, and he asked us. He asked me and my brother. He's like, "Oh, y'all aren't going for the black quarterback?" And we were like, "No."
Yeah.
And my mom was like, and she was just like, "Oh, why not?" And I was like, "Their entire team could be made up of my blood relatives, guaranteed to be black, and I would not root for the Philadelphia Eagles." Nothing could make me root for them. I'm seeing it right now. Yes. People are saying if y'all and the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Cowboys fans are saying they would rather root for the Philadelphia Eagles
than the Chiefs.
Rather the Chiefs three-peat.
Yeah, but if there you go. That's exactly what that is. They don't.
I would rather the Chiefs win 100 yes. Super Bowls in a row.
I know.
I don't care. There's no. The dynasty, there is nothing as a Cowboys fan that should make you be okay with the Philadelphia Eagles winning.
Yeah, I get that.
Ever. Can you imagine as a Michigan fan if Ohio State was just playing, someone was like, yeah, Ohio State, but I just don't want Texas to win, or Notre Dame to win.
Oregon, UT, and Notre Dame let me down.
That's simple. That's a. And I'm going to do it because he's our friend, Jamal. I'm looking at you. In 2017, I've never forgiven you for this. When you said you wanted the Eagles to win the Super Bowl because you were tired of the Patriots, I've never forgiven you for that. Because that is unacceptable as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Scorned friendship
here. We heard it here first.
He will always be as my brother, and we'll just say the day out. But I, as a Jamal, Cowboys fan,
what you doing, bro?
I squinted my eyes at you that day, and I've never opened them.
He's never opened them.
Yeah, but no, that's just I
screw
don't.
Ohio State.
You, exactly.
Screw that's Ohio State. I'm not saying what I want to say, but screw Ohio State. They can kick rocks. I hope y'all choke on those rings that y'all get. I hope Jeremiah Smith transfers. I hope y'all lose it all. Ryan Day can eat it. All y'all suck, bro. That's all I got to say.
Jeremiah Smith, future Cowboy.
No. Dude, it's insane. He's NFL ready right now.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
Did you see, I don't know if you saw they posted, they compared Terry McLaurin, because he played 4 years at Ohio State. They showed his numbers, and they showed Jeremiah Smith's numbers. Jeremiah Smith has already put up Terry McLaurin's career at Ohio State.
Literally.
And he has two more seasons.
It's crazy.
But not because he's going to transfer somewhere else. Watch. No, I'm joking, but he probably not. But, God, dude, I want to throw up now.
Well, on that note, guys.
I
want to
throw up now. Goodness gracious.
Thank y'all for tuning in.
Yes. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. Please like, comment, subscribe. TikTok is back.
Yep.
We're coming hot.
They were going for what, like 14 hours?
A night. They were going for a night, whatever.
Man, people freaked out.
Hey, as long as TikTok.
The world was ending.
Right. As long as TikTok is up and rolling, we will be on that thing.
Yep. Everywhere you can find podcasts, right. Apple, Spotify. What is it? There's one more, isn't it?
Samsung, Apple, Spotify. Anywhere you can find podcasts, yep. We are available. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're doing great. Whatever. Give us your honest feedback.
Hit that notification bell.
Everything. Any and all. And yeah, man, we got a few more episodes in this thing before we call it a wrap on season one. But
just know, season two, we already got stuff cooking.
Yep, we're coming, man. Faster, stronger. Shout out Kanye West.
Yep.
Until next week, peace.
Later.